morning. Today is Wednesday, October the 11th. Joining us this morning is Humboldt County Supervisor still Ryan Sundberg. Good morning, guy.
I made it another day.
What can I tell you? Our quote is probably a lot, but what would be received? Very little. Okay.
You have that surprised look on your face.
Our quote this morning comes from, this is a little esoteric for us, but we can go with it. John Muir. You know the guy with the trees? Muir Wood.
Oh.
Yosemite.
Okay.
Okay. When we try to pick out anything by itself, we find it's hitched to everything else in the universe. That's good.
Yeah.
Yeah. I asked Billy Hansel this last week, so you're the first county-type dude since then. What the shootings and stuff in Las Vegas, is the county doing anything and taking that lesson that community unfortunately had to pay for and applying it to anything that's going on here?
So it has not reached the Board of Supervisors for sure. That's definitely a law enforcement issue.
But you guys have got security issues within the building.
It's all run through the state of California and the sheriff's office. Yeah, and the sheriff's a separately elected official who we don't control. So we we do the budgets and then we're done with them. We're not done with them, but we're...
So you guys don't have the responsibility of the security of the structure?
That's all the sheriff.
All the pat-downs and all that kind of stuff, that's...
It's all done through the sheriff's department. Oh. So it's kind of interesting just in case you didn't know, the sheriff is required under state law to do two things. They're required to do the jail, have officers in the jail, and they're required to have security for the courts. And that's why they're...
I guess where we know where the rest of us rank, huh?
Yeah. So they're not required to have deputies on the streets or, but I mean, of course we do, but it's... it's all run through the sheriff's department, and I'm sure that eventually, or I'm sure they're already looking at those lessons and seeing if there's events around here, and then if there was anything that they need, they will come to the board and say, hey, this is how we can keep these events safer, or, I'm sure that event organizers will work with the sheriff or the police departments in the city of Eureka.
How about the rodeo? Okay, I know that's... There's the services district, and Greg is running that, and they've got their own elected board, but it's in your district. Okay. The Pony Express days. There's a gathering of folks. It's in the county jurisdiction. It would seem like there's, since we all have gap management that we do, mm-hmm. trying to improve things, that there would be things that everybody could learn from, just because it kind of is a chance to reflect back in.
Yeah, I'm sure event organizers, so the Chamber of Commerce who runs the Pony Express will check in with law enforcement and say, is there any other plans that we should be making? Should we change up routes or see what they're going to do? So I am not privy to that at this point. And I mean, it's pretty fresh still. And
right.
I think
lessons
there's
are still being learned.
Looking at that Las Vegas one is trying to figure out why or how you would stop something like that when there's absolutely no bit of warning on a radar. Very, very scary. And I don't,
with some of the more contentious discussions we have around here, you guys do outreach into areas. Okay, well, let's have some public meetings and we'll do it in, this spot, that spot. Okay, it's not like you run the gauntlet through or anybody's being screened for or any of that kind of stuff. And it's just, it's another one of those kinds of, things to consider. I just didn't know if there had been any reaction in the last week or so, or if it's just kind of discussion and personal reflections.
Yeah, there has not been anything official, and I haven't spoken to the sheriff. I'm sure they're probably.
If you happened to listen that morning, you would have heard it.
Well, some of us have to work.
Yeah, pull that card, huh? Okay. What about the systems within the county? You talked about the sheriff, and that's kind of his responsibility. There are certainly areas that you guys are responsible for. Do you feel pretty confident that those systems are in place and being adhered to?
Which systems are you talking about?
Oh, pick your favorite. It doesn't matter. I mean, just an overall philosophical, is there enough time spent looking at what is being done to be sure that there are things that you're not setting yourself up for issues, whether it's safety issues or anything else?
Yeah, we have pretty tight contracts, you know, with the unions and OSHA, and, you know, we have all this ADA going on right now for, you know, it's so... I think that for the most part, we do a pretty good job. There's a lot of eyeballs looking on it, and employees will let you know when there's gaps in the system, and you know, and we take them pretty serious. We, you know.
So how is that ADA stuff coming along since you brought it up?
Yeah, I mean, it's coming along, and we.
You gonna hit the deadlines?
We don't have a choice. We will hit the deadlines or we'll beg for forgiveness, one or the other. I don't know. But we still don't have a number yet. You know, we don't know exactly because we're still compiling all the bids to see what it'll take to fix. You know, we've got an ADA coordinator that we hired for the county, and then we've got a firm hired that goes and does all the bidding and, you know, gets the numbers together, and they're still in that process of trying to figure it all out.
When are they supposed to get it to you?
I don't know what that is, that data off the top of my head. There's
next couple months kind of thing?
It should be fairly soon.
Because I would think
it may take longer than that for some pieces, because what they have to do is there's 200 and something buildings, and they got to go through each single one, and they even had to go to like the new library that was built in Trinidad, you know, because that's a county building, right. And the sheriff substation in McKinleyville, and some of these places we're remodeling, or we have plans to remodel, or they're going to be torn down. You know, we're on H Street where the planning and building is. We don't even know if that building can even be rehabbed for ADA because it's kind of up and it's old, and it may make more sense to tear it down and build something else or move our offices together somewhere.
Consolidation.
Yeah.
Concept. We'll be back.
It's not the place they hope to be in spring training, but the San Francisco Giants have the rest of the summer to play, and they'll be bringing their exciting brand of ball to Kika, Thunder Country, 101.5 FM. They've got a lot of games left on the schedule against contending teams, and playing the role of spoiler is a definite possibility. Be tuned in for all the action, all season long. Brought to you on KINS, in part by Angelo's Pizza, Wyckoff's Plumbing, Electrical, and Hardware, and Living Styles Furniture.
KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:24. We're back to Talk Shop this morning with Ryan Sundberg. Ryan, one of the things that I was thinking with the Vegas situation, it's not that Metro PD has dropped the ball or DOJ or FBI or anybody, but the concept of tracking. You know, they talk about this individual, that individual, what's going on. Is this a, you know, the was it the independent? I guess they're not using Lone Warrior anymore. Just, you know, independent terrorist,
lone wolf,
or somebody who's connected, or is the tracking and the maintenance of the records. We've heard that there, at least I've heard out on the street, that there may have been some kind of a situation with records and that popped up in places that they shouldn't have been, that were confidential records out of the county. Okay, so if we've got systems, but if they're not being adhered to. Whoops.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, there's still opportunities for all kinds of problems or ways to avoid things that popped up because nobody was paying attention to it.
And I think you're talking about a little while back, it's probably a month ago or so, a month and a half ago, there was a couple of boxes of records that were...
They popped up in places they shouldn't have been.
Yeah, they found them in Trinity County.
So how does that happen?
Employee records is what they were, payroll records where there was Social Security numbers and bank account numbers. And there was a bus somewhere in Trinity County, and the sheriffs found these boxes of Humboldt County payroll records in Trinity County, and so it got back to us, and what in the world happened here? So, yeah, there's supposed to be a strict system on what the auditor's office does with those records, and obviously it wasn't adhered to. They're doing an investigation right now to figure out exactly what happened, but...
Is this a grand jury or is this somebody else?
No, this is the CAO's office is coordinating an investigation to figure out how they ended up there with the sheriff. You know, they're working with the sheriff's office. And
so how'd they get out? How'd they get in the bad guy's hands?
So somewhere a criminal got a hold of these. How did they get a hold of them? Were they stored in a secured facility? You know, and there's procedures for all this.
Was the name Sundberg included in any of that?
You know what so what we're going to do is... Well, you know, like LifeLock kind of thing where, you know, somebody monitors your records. And there's a period of time where these records were out there of payroll records. And it was 2010, I think, was one of the dates. And that's I was here then. So, my name is potentially with it.
Yeah.
And so we'll find out exactly. Hopefully at the end of the investigation, it'll narrow down to here's the employees who were out there, and here's the ones that are safe. Or I don't even know if there was other boxes. Or
yeah,
it's pretty scary. It's pretty scary, yeah, because that should not happen. And like you said, there's systems in place, but if people aren't following them, or if there's nobody following up on them, or testing them, you know, and that's where we need to go is to make sure that the systems are tested and followed, because if they're not, we have big trouble, and it costs the county a lot of money because we're going to have to pay for monitoring for all these employees for a certain period of time because someone didn't store their records correctly.
Yeah. So with something like that, there's a couple, is there a system in place, yes or no? How did nobody know that the stuff was gone, which is a whole nother issue? And why was the stuff on paper anyway instead of being shredded?
So you have to keep
all levels of different.
But you have to keep records for a certain period of time, and so we have locked storage units most of the time of these records go in there and then they cycle them out, and we have shredderware come and shred them all. You know, so that is there's
so you gotta hold on to the paper for a period.
Yeah, and there's
of
a
time.
System set up, and there's by law you have to keep things for a certain amount of time, usually 5 years. And but if those policies and procedures aren't being followed, then we have issues. So we need to make sure that we have a system to test those.
So what kind of spot checking does the county do? I mean, it could be police records as well as payroll records or anybody else's records. What kind of spot check do you do?
So that's what we're
going to
for this. I don't even know if there is one at this point. We're going to find out at the end of this investigation of what were the policies and procedures, which ones weren't followed. Do we need to change them in the future? You know, and they may not be spot checked, but we'll find out.
Is this under risk manager? I mean, the county has a risk manager, right?
We do.
Wouldn't this be the kinds of things, or does that tend to be just more the financial?
Yeah, and so we had our human resources director was also our risk manager for a while to save money, and some of this, maybe that wasn't a good move. So we'll have to reevaluate that, and we'll know more at the end of this investigation exactly who had responsibility for what and what, and hopefully then we'll know what we need to change in the future, and then hopefully that we'll have checks and balances, and it won't happen again. And then we can also try and find where holes are and other things.
I suspect that there's going to be a segment of the community, large probably, that are going to look for a pound of flesh. Okay. I mean, if something as basic as this occurs, I don't know if it's lazy or inept, or somebody who's new and didn't know, or somebody who's old who didn't care. Are you going to be looking to, not take a pound of flesh? That's a little too draconian. But basically, is somebody going to have responsibility for this and then be held accountable for it? I mean, there are plenty of examples over the past 30 years with county government and the responsible party not being called out.
Yeah, and most of the time it's the Board of Supervisors that gets blamed. So I'm hoping that whoever did this is accountable, because I know who is if it doesn't get done.
Yeah, I see. A little Olay defense on a Wednesday. KINS, News and Information Time, it's 8:30.
We do as a community to make Humboldt a better place to work and live? The answer is to make sure our kids are literate, able to plan financially, move forward in their education so they are better prepared to enter our workforce, and become contributing and productive members in our society, community, and economy. How do we do it? Through the Decade of Difference Initiative. Visit decadeofdifference.org and find out how you, as a parent, student, or business owner, can help. It's the Decade of Difference. Be part of it.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:35. We're back to Talk Shop this morning with Ryan Sundberg. Talk Shop presented by CDH Painting and by Redeck. Ryan, looking at some of the different challenges that are out there, when I was out of the region last week, there were probably 50 to 60 other radio broadcasters that were there. And I bet you over half of them came up and said, so what's it going to be like with legalization? And there's the recognition of it. A couple guys were from Colorado who knew what was dealing with, and depending on what side of the political spectrum, and yeah, we've got some folks on the more lenient side of that in our group. Well, or holy cow. I mean, but they're looking to us. And I said, you know, I don't know. All I know is what I hear. And then with the sanctuary state being signed last week, what do you think? What do you project going through legalization now that we are a sanctuary state? Thank you, Governor Brown and electeds. We're certainly tweaking the system even more, you know, a little thumb in the eye. Let's see if they're paying attention to us. Mm-hmm. Have you had enough time to reflect on this thing?
No, I don't know what the fallout from that will be. It could... You know, there could be nothing, or, you know, I guess, you know, could lose funding, or, you know, we just went to Oregon to a basketball tournament last summer, and they've gone full recreational there. And
yeah, for a year plus. Yeah.
Yeah. And so we drove there, and you see a couple of pot farms on the way, and then you see some billboards. And then there's...
No, first board on 101 North is, you know, high times. Not to give them a plug. That was stupid, wasn't it? But it's a, you know, marijuana X number of miles and first building in state. It's, there it is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and so there's really. And there's this, you know, there's dispensaries that will take, you know, you can just walk in, from what I understand, and just get whatever you want because they're full recreational. And that's what we're moving towards. And I don't know, I know everybody's more sensitive than other people, but for me, you know, and I have my daughter there, and so I don't want it right in her face. And, you know, and I want her to know that drugs and alcohol and, you know, are bad for you. And adults can do it in moderation when she gets older, but, you know.
How about adults can be stupid too?
Yeah, exactly. So I didn't think it was overwhelming, I guess is the word for it. I mean, I did notice it, but I was looking for it also because I was interested to see what it looked like there. And
well, probably throughout the state. Were you guys in the middle of the state or towards the edges?
We were towards the edges, and then we went all the way into Bend.
Okay.
Yeah, we actually...
Brookings has got eight. In different. Town of 6,400, we have...
I haven't been to Brookings.
Eight dispensaries.
Yeah.
Or retail stores.
Mm-hmm. So one of the things that we can control, though, is signage. You know, and so when...
So that's not a freedom of speech issue.
No, because it's a license, a conditional use license that they have to get. So we can control the signage. And if I don't know if you've been out to Myrtle Town, and there's the ones out there, but you don't even
I see them. Four or five times a day. I see them.
Most people don't notice that's even out there.
Well, though. And it's the green cross is the thing that is the trigger.
I think most people don't even know what that is, and it's not real right in your face.
Soon,
they did have a van parked out there with a leaf on it. And we had them remove that and said, you can do one little thing on the building and that's it. And so
you can't step in with billboards. These guys can buy the boards and do that. I mean,
we can't.
You can't legally buy broadcast, but
we can control the things that are in our jurisdiction.
Right.
So we have,
What about the sidewalk signs? Are those things that are going to be permissible?
So for me, I would hope that I would vote to not have that. I think that with cell phone apps and that kind of thing, they can do just as good of a job and have people find their business without putting it in the face of people who don't necessarily want to see it right in their face.
It's probably initially going to be destination driven.
Yeah, yeah. And so that's, that's my view of it. That's what we've done so far.
Now, the county's non-smoking ordinances or public smoking ordinances, those go across the board, right? It doesn't matter what you're smoking.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I guess they even count for the vapes also. Those
Is that applicable or not?
I believe that those count as well.
Which is kind of weird.
Well, I've heard different things. But I've heard that even though it's a water vapor that you're breathing out, there's still some chemicals in there from whatever you breathe in.
The flavor, the kid that I was driving, one of them that I was driving around with last week, was kind of like apple cinnamon.
Uh-huh.
It had a name. It was like pink gum or something. It was real. I looked at him and it was like, really? That's so macho.
Yeah.
But it was,
I kick my own butt if I smoked one of those.
Yeah. Exactly. But there was no tobacco-esque.
No, it does smell like fruity something.
Yeah, they have the flavoring agents, I guess.
But they still have nicotine in them and probably other things. I've heard that some real bad stuff that goes in them if they're made in China and that kind of, there's no regulation on them. For the most part.
Right. But it's not, it doesn't seem to have the secondhand smoke component.
It's not as
the big deal
not
about
as,
public smoking.
Yeah, I don't know what's in it, but it's definitely not as annoying as cigarette smoke, because I really don't like that.
Yeah, but I don't want pink bubblegum clinging to my shirt either. KINN, I couldn't even step in it, could I? I'd have to like roll in it.
To smell like that.
Yeah, that's not going to happen. I hope. KINS News and Information Time. It's 8:42.
What's the shopping show all about?
If you haven't listened to the show before, it's kind of tough to describe.
I guess the easiest first step is to simply go to the Shopping Show website.
TheShoppingShow.net.
And join us this Saturday for the next Shopping Show.
On KINS 106.3 FM.
KURY FM 95.3 and 101.3 in the Illinois Valley.
And KEKA 101.5 and 100.9 in Eureka.
Good morning, KINS News and Information Time. It's 8:47. We're back to Talk Shop this morning with Ryan Sundberg. Ryan, as we move into the fall, and what kind of sense do you have? What you guys have got the ADA, that's a big one. You got the marijuana stuff, that's a big one. Has there been any? I mean, the other one on the three-legged stool there is the general plan. Any traction? Anything? Is it going to be voted on before the end of this decade?
Yes. It's going to be actually. It's on our agenda for the 23rd. Of October.
It's a Monday. Nice try. Take another shot.
No, it's a Monday.
Special.
You don't remember all the special meetings we had for Mondays that we did general plan?
We had special meetings all the time. They're not so special anymore.
Yeah. Just a run-of-the-mill Monday meeting. Yeah. Well, they last so, you know, this is the staff finished the updated environmental impact report, and we, so our board will have a couple of hearings on the new update, and then we will vote on the final, so it's...
Before Santa?
Before
we'll
Santa.
We'll have a GP.
Okay. Well, unless something happens. I had someone send me an email the other day and wanted to make some changes, and I said,
no.
I don't think anybody has the appetite to hit the brakes and make changes at this point.
That's the amendment process, right?
Well, we went through it all. You know, we went line by line through this thing. We went zone by zone. You know, anybody that wanted to make a change to their zoning, we, you know, we...
So now I would be curious, without the disclosure portion of it, significant or not, paying attention or not, new to the community or not.
People's
whoever
interest in it?
Say, hey, I got another change. I want to...
Oh.
And it's like, really?
Well, I think sometimes, you know, so we went through all this, and actually the change that was being proposed was something I remember going over, and there was, I believe it was a 4-1 vote on that one. You can...
I can remember back.
You can remember back and do the math there. But
so it was already discussed then.
Yeah. Yeah. All this stuff was. You know, we went into great painful detail of each single section line by line.
Painful detail. I'm not sure how great it was though.
Okay, fair enough. Fair enough.
But so you think by it's coming around the corner.
Yeah, yeah, it's right here.
Do you think it'll be a 5-0? Do you think it's going to be contentious? Do you think we're going to get the special interest guys banging the drum again? Or accepting it and then adjusting it?
Yeah, and I may be sitting here with some rose-colored glasses, but I think, my opinion, that it is definitely not a perfect document for the left, hardcore left, or the hardcore right. And I know that when we... When we were going through this, I told people over and over that, you know, we're going through this thing line by line, and we tried our best with individual meetings with people who didn't necessarily agree with us or, you know, a different perspective. And then also, you know, we had that that committee set up with the stakeholders from kind of the HUM CPR groups and the environmental groups. And I told people, I said, you know, if we... No one's going to be happy at the end of this thing, but if we do it right, if there's not going to be a mandate for when I'm gone to go in and change the general plan, you know, if we do this thing and get everybody's opinions in there, and there was definitely, when I got elected, there was a mandate to change the general plan.
You're planning on leaving?
Everybody leaves.
Oh, eventually. I see. Big picture.
So.
Big picture. So we should start hearing some noise about it pretty quick.
Oh, yeah.
Very cool. Yeah. Very cool.
I've already been hearing noise, but.
Yeah. Well, I'm talking about.
I run in different circles.
You kind of limp. And, yeah. Okay. See everybody tomorrow.